Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 15, and I will read verses 1 through 16, and then we're going to just allow the Holy Ghost to have his way tonight. Amen? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the time of worship and praise. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, They Chose Barabbas Over Jesus. Did you catch that? They chose Barabbas over Jesus. And so we all know, we've read this story many times, that Barabbas was a thief, a murderer. He was a criminal. He was incarcerated several times. And yet, it was a tradition to the Jews that once a year, they would release a prisoner after being incarcerated for so many years. So, Pilate didn't want the blame and didn't want the blood of an innocent man on him, so he presented Jesus and Barabbas. Who do you choose? And so we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to hopefully dissect it and expound what the true meaning was. Because there's always a lot of Hebraic underline underneath each scripture that you have to like pull out. Like last week, if you missed last week, remember where Jesus told Peter that you would deny me three times before the rooster crowed, right? And so when you read that, just in the English language, you would think that it was a real rooster. You know, a cock-a-doodle-doo, rooster. But we found out through Hebraic study and through witnesses that were actually there, like Josephus, who wrote down these things as an eyewitness, the rooster was a town crier. And he would announce three times that a morning service was coming. And so he announced it on the temple. And so that probably went right over your head, didn't it? But many scholars believe now, because if you go to Israel today, you cannot have chickens and roosters on the Temple Mount or anywhere in the holy city. You don't see them running around. Well, they didn't have them running around back then either. So it wasn't a rooster, so to say, that we know it like on a farm. It was the town crier. And so it's amazing when you go deeper in the Word. Amen? So now, let's look at these scriptures, and then we'll ask God to just take us where he needs to take us tonight. Immediately, verse 1, chapter 15. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered and said to him, It is as you say. Notice, they were always trying to entrap our Lord. They're always was trying to put him in a corner, and they're always trying to pry things out so that they can incriminate him. But Jesus wouldn't let that happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So in other words, if you say that I am, then that's who I am. Notice he allowed them to say it, not him. See, Jesus could have just called upon legions of angels and wiped them all out. But see, God had a plan. He had to come to the cross for you and I. So even though this apprehension that took place at night was illegal, totally illegal, they couldn't wait for the morning to come to open up the court so that people in the public could come in. And so, yes, and we got to praise the Lord over there. Amen. And so then Pilate asked, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered and said to him, It is as you say. Verse 3, and the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you. But Jesus still answered nothing. Praise God. He didn't have to answer to nobody. So that Pilate marveled. Now, at the feast, interesting, at the feast, because this took place on a high holiday. At the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested, as I just mentioned. Verse 7, and there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. This was a murderer that they had. And so they put Jesus and Barabbas, a murderer, and we're going to see who they preferred. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to, just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, do you want me to release you, the king of the Jews? Notice Pilate was always trying to defer. He kept always saying, the king of the Jews. Not the king of Rome, but the king of the Jews. Verse 10. For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. We're going to look a little closer on these religious folks. Because let me just say this. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. They're still religious folks. Can I get an amen? They'll still put CC&Rs upon you. You know what CC&Rs? See, I'm in real estate. So when someone buys a condominium, they get a big old giant package of CC&Rs. You know what that is? Covenants, conditions, and restrictions. And so you'll find religion where they will say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you won't do this. You can't. They got all these things that you try to obtain through works. And when you find out you cannot obtain it, you get discouraged. And they don't come alongside you to build you up. They just want to continue to hammer you with religion. Well, that's what these religious folks did. And so Pilate answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews? Verse 13. So they cried out, crucify him. Man, I'm telling you, these religious guys, all they had was hate and strife and envy for our Lord. And they wanted to kill him. Then Pilate said to them, what evil has he done? See, Pilate examined him pretty thoroughly, and he didn't see any fault in him. But he was caught between a rock and a hard place. And so finally, he had to just give the people what they wanted. Look at this. But they cried out all the more, crucify him. Verse 15. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd. Did you catch this? Released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. And when you look at the word scourge, do you think that, you know, you burn your hand on a hot stove? No, they literally almost beat him to death. My goodness. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. That's what we will end on verse 16 for tonight. But let's go back now. Let's look at verse 1. Can I get an amen? Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. So, saints, the entire high council of the Jewish leaders had already reached their verdict. They made up their mind already beforehand, but they had to make the decision at a meeting during the daytime according to the law of Moses. So they didn't want to break any law, but they did already because they apprehended him at night. And that was against Jewish rule and law. So it was very early in the morning, so they made it official that Jesus was worthy of death. So, saints, Jesus was bound like a common criminal, and he was sent off to Pilate, the Roman governor. The council had to get permission from Pilate in order to carry out the death penalty. And so Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor at the time, in the region of Samaria and Judea in the year AD 26 through 36. So that was his reign. And Jerusalem was located in Judea. Pilate's normal residence was in Caesarea. Do you remember when we went to Israel a couple years ago? We went to Caesarea, right? And then from Caesarea, we went to Caesarea Philippi. All these places are real places when you read them in the Bible. They're still there. Praise God. And so Caesarea was on the Mediterranean Sea. But he was in Jerusalem because of the what? Passover feast. This is so key, saints. I need you to just remember the Passover feast, because we're going to look at it in a little bit, a closer look at the feast, because this was totally designed by God Almighty, that his son, that the Father would send his son to die on a hideous cross on Passover. So with the large crowds that flock, saints, to the city of the celebration, and Sister Yolanda and I, by God's grace, we've been there several times during holidays. And one of the main ones is the very last one, is the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Jews are required that mother, father, and children, three times out of the seven feasts, that they all need to be there. And one of them is the last one, which our Jewish friends just celebrated just now, a couple of days ago, is the Feast of Tabernacles. And the reason why, when you walk out to the courtyard, you'll see the sukkah, okay? And it's made with palm branches, and it looks like a little Gilligan's hut. And they're all over the place in Jerusalem. But that was there as a reminder that when they were in the wilderness, when they were set free, and they had to make these little sukkahs out there in the wilderness, that was a sign that God's hand was upon them. So they, Jews are specific people that remember. They're always told to remember. And so you can never cross one. If you do cross one, they're going to always remember you. So they flocked there, okay, and he stayed in his headquarters called the Praetorium. Pilate was a harsh governor who felt nothing but contempt for the Jews. And they, in turn, felt the same about him. He was a tough guy. Pilate was not popular. Why? Because Pilate was known to align up with the Hebrews during that time. And people would come in from other cities and towns, and they would see on the outside of the courts of the holy city crucifixions, people that were on a hideous cross for whatever sin they committed. And it was all in Pilate's hands. All the blood was on, because he's the one that made the final order, crucify him. My goodness. So they interrupted his breakfast on that early Friday morning, bringing a man whom they accused of treason against Rome. And God never did anything. We read the scriptures that there was no sin, there was no guile, there was no hate in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to serve. Can I get amen? He came to heal. He came to raise the dead. He came to give us life that we would have life. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And so, but they didn't have a clue. They didn't understand who he was. Why? Because all the Jews and all the Romans and everyone there were not from heaven. Jesus came from heaven to be like us, to walk amongst us. It's amazing. You know, I look at it like this. Have you ever seen a whole bunch of ants at a park, and you see like a little hill and there's thousands of ants, right, running all over the place? It's almost like he came to be something like that amongst them. He came to this sinful world that he would take on a body of flesh like us, but the difference was Jesus was sinless. Hallelujah. And it was the blood of Jesus that would take away our sins. So he had to come and endure the cross for you and I. Hallelujah. So now let's look at verse 2. Then Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said to him, "It is as you say." Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus was not going to allow them for him to be incriminated by anyone. He was not going to incriminate himself. Can I get amen?
Amen?
So saints, Pilate asked Jesus directly if he claimed to be the king of the Jews. Jesus' answers was basically, yes, because you said I was. Did you catch that? Jesus didn't go around and say, "I'm God Almighty, hallelujah." He didn't, did he? Uh-uh. He didn't do that. And so I got scriptures to back this. Look at this. Let's look at John right here. John 18, 30. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus came from heaven to be with us? And we look in Genesis that mankind tried to build a tower to get to heaven, and God had to strike them down. This is why you and I have a different language. This is why there's so many ethnicities. Why? Because he basically stifled their language and scattered them. Taught them a lesson. No, if anyone's going to come down to this earth, it's God. And guess what? Flesh and blood cannot enter in. Can I get amen? So Jesus, he identified who he was, but it was an indirect identity. Why? Because he was smart. Jesus, man, is the man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had more wisdom than anybody else. And so, in Mark, look at it in Mark 14:62, and Jesus says, "I am. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Let me just say this, saints. We are living in the times that Jesus said that it would be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. We're seeing wickedness and gross darkness. We're seeing the whole land covered. And Jesus said that would be a sign that I will come again. Hallelujah. God is preparing his bride. He's preparing his church to be ready. Can I get an amen? Because when the archangel blows the shofar, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. How many can't wait for that to take place? Because the same way he was taken away up in the clouds, he's coming back in the clouds. Can I get amen? Man, I can't wait, man. Wow, here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. And it'll be that fast as a twinkling of an eye. Can I get amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, saints, he wasn't claiming kingship in any way that would threaten Pilate, Caesar, or the empire. Jesus' kingship was spiritual. Pilate could sense that the council's case was embarrassingly weak. In other words, they were just colluding together to try to take Jesus down. And Pilate recognized that. This is why he kept saying, the king of the Jews, the king of the Jews. He was trying to defer it because he didn't see any fault in Christ. Can I get amen? He didn't. And that the solemn rabbi standing before him was unlikely to lead a revolt against Rome. Come on, he wasn't there with an army. He came all by himself to die on this hideous cross for you and I. He became like us, that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. Thank you, God. Let's go to verse 3 in Mark chapter 15. "And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you?' But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." He marveled, man. Come on, who is this guy? He's taking all this verbal abuse. He's taking all these whippings and being scourged and being mocked and ridiculed. And yet he opened up his mouth. Come on, listen. If someone accused you of something and you know that you did not do that crime, a lot of us are not going to just be, some of us are going to go, "What up, man? What you talking about?" We're going to try to defend ourselves, huh? You know why? Because we are still in flesh and blood and we are still sinful. See, God, when he finally changes us, there will be no more pride. But pride is still there. It's locked in there. Why? Because we still live in a body of sin. Our soul, hallelujah, has been cleansed and washed by the blood, and we are heaven bound now. But flesh and blood cannot enter in. We have to be changed, and we have to be like him. So just remember that. We have to come out of this shell and have a body just like him, the same body when he rose again on the third day. That brand new body. that will live forever. And you know what I loved about his body? He can, boom, appear, and then, boom, disappear. Man, I want one of them. Hey, how you doing? And I'm gone. And he also ate. So that body could eat. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was going to go, man, what do they got up there, Lord? I love to eat down here. There's got to be some food up there, right? Oh, man, that body can eat. Praise God. Hey, but listen, just a little side note here. In the book of Revelation says that when he renovates this whole world, there's not going to be any more sea left. So you better get all your sushi now. I like me some rolls, but it's going to be gone. Can I get an amen? Let's get back to the study here. So saints, Luke records the essence of these charges. So there was a lot of charges, a lot of accusations, a lot of things that they tried to impose upon the Lord. But they couldn't. Everything was done illegally. Everything was done corruptly. These were corrupt people. Thank you, God. Look at this in Luke. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation." No, who's saying that? How did he pervert the nation? "And forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said, "It is as you say." Man, you couldn't trap the Lord. And I love later on in that verse where he says, "Hey, let me see a coin. What's on that coin?" "Well, Caesar's on that coin, the other one." "Well, give render to Caesar and give render to God." They could never trap him. They could never trap the Lord. He had so much wisdom beyond their comprehension. But come on, these religious folks who studied, who were scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, they thought they knew the whole counsel of God, and they didn't. Man, God would outsmart these guys. Thank you, Lord. So the Jewish leaders had to fabricate new accusations against Jesus. So they accused Jesus of many crimes he never committed. These accusations were false, but the religious leaders were determined, saints, to have Jesus killed. They were determined. Pilate knew the charges were preposterous. They were outrageous. And he obviously expected Jesus to say something in self-defense because of all the false charges. But Jesus said nothing, praise God. Jesus' silence had been prophesied in Scripture. You see, Isaiah was a forerunner that brought forth a prophetic word. So when we look to Isaiah, look at this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his what? His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Praise God. It was prophesied thousands of years prior to his apprehension. And finally, when that day came, he fulfilled this prophecy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many love the Lord? Come on, man. Give them a hand clap. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You did it for us, God. And Jesus had no reason to try to prolong the trial or save himself. Nothing would stop Jesus from completing the work which he came to do here on earth. Luke recorded a middle phase in all the action when Pilate found that Jesus was from Galilee. He sent him off to Herod Antipas, and who also was in the town of the Passover feast. But Herod only mocked Jesus and returned him back to Pilate. Look what it says here in God's word. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. They were like playing ping pong with the Lord. Why? Why? Because they could not find fault. Jesus never committed anything. Can I get an amen? Look what it says here in verse 8. "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and they were good things. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. He caused the mute to speak. He caused the cripple to walk. Hallelujah. Look, they didn't have texting and Facebook back then. Can I get amen? They went from town to town. There were probably some sprinters that just sprinted from town to town. You should have seen what I seen. That's how the word got around. So they heard about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Did you catch that? Because everything that was said was good about him. But yet, when the trial came, the illegal trial came, they came up with false accusations. They came up with what corrupted scenes that never took place. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Verse 10 says, and the chief priests and scribes stood there vehemently, accused him. These religious folks were mad. I mean, it was like anger that you and I can't really comprehend. And then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. In other words, because of the Lord, it caused these leaders back then at that day to become friends. What? My goodness. So let's go now to verse 6. This is now key as we go a little further in this study. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. And they had committed murder, the rebellion. So these were actually real deal criminals. But notice the feast. All these people were there at the feast. And what feast was it? Passover. So now, for those of you that probably never seen this chart before, you're going to go, wow, these things happen prophetically, and God has fulfilled the first four. This is why the last three, look out. Look out, God. So let's look at this chart. Passover in the Hebrew calendar. Listen, we've been on a Roman calendar since way back in the times of Caesar. So we're still on what's called a Gregorian calendar, January through December. And most of the world follows that calendar. But God has his own calendar. It's called the Hebrew calendar. It's in the Bible, throughout the Word of God. And that's when God does prophetic things on his days. Can I get amen? So look at this. Passover was in the month of Nisan on the 15th day. God determined before the foundation of the world that he would send his son to die on Passover. So for thousands of years, Moses and all the Hebrews and the Israelites, they've always practiced or celebrated Passover. And what was Passover? Passover was when God sent Moses to deliver the Hebrews from the Egyptians, right? They were in bondage for 400 years. So finally a deliverer came. So the last plague, the 10th plague, was the death angel. So what did Moses tell him to do? He told him to put the blood on the sides, hallelujah, and above the doorpost. Can I get amen? So that when the death angel would come, it would pass over those who put the blood of the lamb up there on the post, right? So Jesus on Passover was bound up, hallelujah, on that Passover day to fulfill all prophecy. Did you catch that? And so he had to shed his blood to cover our sins, and God passed over our sins on that day. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Man, when you get a hold of it, you'll understand, man, Jesus came and died on that feast day to fulfill all prophecy. My goodness. And so now you go to the second day, and because he had no sin, he was buried in the tomb without any sin. So that second holiday is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. leaven is a type of sin. Unleavened means they removed the leaven. And so in the Word of God, leaven was a type of sin. So Jesus was in the tomb with no sin. Did you catch that? So he's in there for 3 days. He had no sin. That we, hallelujah, would become the righteousness of God through Christ. So on the third day, we all know he rose on the third day, right? So the third feast was first fruits. So the Jews celebrate first fruits, and he rose from the dead on their third festival. Now, 50 days later, thank you, God, the Holy Ghost, after Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, now go and wait and tarry for the Holy Ghost to come. Hallelujah. So 50 days later, on the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost is poured out on the church. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So now, for 2,000 years, it's been the church age. And so now, the Holy God has been saving souls for 2,000 years because of the blood of the Lamb. But now he says, when you see these signs, I'm about to come back. Hallelujah. So this is why he's coming back on the Feast of Trumpets. Hallelujah. He's going to fulfill those last three. The Feast of Trumpets is when the angel will blow the shofar. Hallelujah. Because the Jews have been practicing for thousands of years the Feast of Trumpets. So what do? They blast the shofar 99 times. And the 100th one is called, yes, yes, he knows. The last one is called the final trump, the last trump. So the last trump is the 100th blast, which they celebrated for all these years. So when Jesus comes, hallelujah, he's going to send the archangel and the final blast, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Listen, if a child can say amen, we can say amen. Come on. Listen, and as I shared on the Feast of Trumpets a couple of weeks ago, he's going to take us out of the world, right? And then the next feast is Yom Kippur. That's redemption. And well, guess what? That's when he's going to pour out his wrath on the earth. But he's going to remove us, the bride, hallelujah, out of the way. He's going to hide us in the pavilion. Can I get an amen? He's going to take us up to heaven while he pours out the wrath on this ungodly earth that has rejected him, that has mocked him for 2,000 years. Hallelujah. And then the last feast is, and it's mentioned in Revelation, where God himself is going to tabernacle with men. In other words, we're going to be with him face to face. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that to take place? Oh, come on, saints of God. This is where you need to get excited about your word. Yes. Know your word. Can I get an amen? Yes. My friend, Brother Eric, told Michael, man, you need to send him here on Wednesday night to get some word. I hope you're getting some word, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, saints, each year during the Jews' Passover festival, Pilate had made it a custom to release any prisoner they requested. So Barabbas had taken part in a murder during an insurrection against the Roman government. Although he was a murderer, he may have been a hero among the Jews. You got to remember that there was a social uprising. And so they were really against the Roman rule, because Rome had their foot on their neck. And so they were in a type of bondage. So obviously there's going to be some that rise up in insurrection. Well, Barabbas was one of them. But he got caught. He got caught for that. And so he was a prisoner. But to some of the Jews, they looked at him as a hero. You catching this? Even though he committed those crimes, they were looking at him. He did it for us. He did it for us. I need you to catch this. Because eventually they were going to make a decision. All they saw, Jesus, was doing miracles they never seen. But Barabbas was there politically for them. He was looking out for their earthly needs. Did you catch that? They didn't understand Jesus. This is why, be real careful when you meet someone or someone says, "Praise the Lord, God bless you. Man, you know what? You're awesome, saint of God," and blah, blah. And then a week or two later, they act like they don't even know you no more. They did that to Jesus. Remember when he rode into Jerusalem, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" They were throwing palm leaves down. They were worshiping him. And now we're to the point where they're saying, "Crucify him." Yeah. Watch out when people start to pat your back. Watch out. Because it stings more when you think that you had friendship with them and then they, boom, right in your back. And they act like they don't even know you no more. It's no different. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Can I get amen? Amen? And so let's go to verse 8. Then the multitude crying aloud began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. So saints, the proceedings of this hearing by Pilate were held in public. So a crowd was hearing all that transpired, and the crowd probably grew larger as news spread. Hey, guess who we have in court? That one they called Jesus. You know, to some of them, he was the magic man. They didn't understand healing that came from heaven. To some of them, it was a circus show. Perhaps this was all part of the religious leader's plan to incite the crowd to ask that Pilate release a prisoner as usual. But it was someone other than Jesus. The religious leaders hated him. They wanted to destroy him for who he stood for. He stood for holiness, for righteousness, to love one another, to forgive one another. Notice that these religious leaders, they had no kind of forgiveness in their heart. They had no kind of compassion. All they wanted to do was destroy him because they were from the earth. They weren't from heaven. And they didn't understand heavenly things. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's go to verse 9. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of what? Envy. They had envy for the Lord. They had envy. Saints of God, you've always heard me time and time again. Do not hold anyone hostage in your heart with a heart of unforgiveness. You got to forgive, you got to forgive, and you got to forgive. Can I get amen? No matter how much it hurts. No matter if you did nothing and they did it to you. It don't matter. You forgive them. Because they don't know what they've done. Some of them, they'll do an offense and they'll just move on like nothing ever happened. But for you, it affected you. But you can't hold them bondage in your heart. You got to let them go. You got to just forgive. Can I get amen? Let it go and let God be God. And so, this is what Jesus was teaching. He was teaching throughout 3.5 years. Love one another. Forgive one another. Serve one another. Raise up one another. Have compassion for one another. That was what went against the grain of the religious leaders. It went against their theology. It went against their corrupt heart. Here God is bringing a spotlight on the heart of man. See, everything that we read, especially in the Gospels, it's about a heart situation. It's our hearts that need to get right with God. Can I get an amen? So God, I love God. He puts that, bam, he puts that spotlight on our heart. And he shows us. And then we have to make a decision, amen? To honor him. To give everything to him. Despite of what others think, despite of what others feel, despite of whatever anyone's done, you know what? Just say, Lord, thank you. Listen, if we can focus on what he did on the cross, there's no offense in this world that cannot be forgiven and cannot be eradicated from our heart. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is the ultimate sacrifice. So we need to walk around that, man, if he sacrificed for me, guess what? I can love my brother and my sister just like he does. And let me tell you, your life will be blessed. Blessed beyond comprehension. You will start receiving favor from God, and God will start meeting those needs or those desires. You see, we all desire. This is one thing God does from the get-go, from the day we give our lives to Christ. He will come, despite of our rebellion, even after salvation, he will still bless your needs. Can I get an amen? But he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you now the desires of your heart. There's a difference than a need and a desire. A desire said, Lord, I would love, you know, maybe to have a car that's more reliable. This one keeps breaking down. Well, you know what? Just keep on loving him and praising him and serving him. And God will open up doors, hallelujah, that no man can open them up. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You will walk in favor of God, hallelujah. And God will do supernatural things, hallelujah. He will touch your body. He will heal you. Hallelujah. He'll come in and straighten out the house. Yes, he will. Because if the house is out of order, the church will be out of order. Can I get an amen? So God, man, deals in our heart, and he helps us. He's for us, not against us. You got to remember, Jesus is for us. He would have never went to this cross if he didn't care about you. He cares about us. He cares about all of us, despite of ourselves, despite of our wretchedness. He still came to die for us. Can I get an amen? Man, I marvel at him. 30 years ago, man, when a custodian led me to God at Horizon Christian Fellowship, I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. And if someone would have told me back then, you're going to be a pastor 30 years later, I would have said, what are you smoking? But God had a plan. And God has a plan for you. Can I get an amen? And he's going to fulfill his plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, man, we serve a mighty God. Come on, let's just worship him right now. God, we love you. God, we, hallelujah, we bless you and praise you. Lord God, all that you've done for us, God. Jesus. Woo, thank you, God. And so they handed him over because of envy. And so saints, Pilate asked if the people wanted the king of the Jews released. This is the second time Pilate used that title for Jesus. And he would use it again and again. We don't know if it was mockery, but he was giving them, I believe, this is God's grace, giving them an opportunity to get it right. He kept coming back to them. Should I release the king of the Jews? Should I release the king of the Jews? You know what? He said it several times. I got it right here in scripture. Look at Mark 15, 2. Then Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Then he said in Mark 15, 12, Pilate answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with whom you call the king of the Jews? Then he says later on in Mark, and he began to salute him, hail, king of the Jews. And yet they still wanted to kill him. Lord, have mercy. And then finally, they put a plaque above his head. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the king of the Jews. Wow. Saints, in any event, Pilate could see that this was a frame-up. He knew that this was a monkey court. He knew that this was false accusation. Why else would these people who hated him and the Roman Empire he represented ask him to convict of treason and give the death penalty? Why? Why? So I ask this question. Why do you suppose they really hated Jesus? You know, Jesus, one of the things that we read through Scripture, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so he spoke truth. He didn't withhold anything. So when he was confronted with these religious folks, this is why they hated him, right up here. In Matthew 23, 29, he goes, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." He called them hypocrites to their face. "Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." These religious folks, for thousands of years, they would grab the prophets and throw them into prison and execute them because God would send them a prophet so that the kingdom would get right before God. But nothing changed. Here they are, going to crucify the King of Glory. Look at this. "Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets." He says, "Fill them up with the measure of your father's guilt." And then he called them serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Listen, when he rose again and the Holy Ghost came, we need to pray that these religious folks got right, because if they didn't get right, they're going to get left. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? Because if they didn't get right in their heart, they were headed to hell. Boom. Jesus said it. I'm glad Jesus said it. Not me. You can't throw tomatoes at me. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail tonight. Can I get amen? Amen. So let's go to verse 11. "But the chief priest stirred up the crowd." The chief priest, the religious guys, they were stirring up the crowd. They were flipping the hearts of the ones that earlier said, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Man, some of their family members got saved. Or not got saved, but healed. Their eyes were opened and they could walk again. They could speak again. And yet, these religious folks were flipping their hearts. Look at this. "So that they should rather release Barabbas to them." Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him who you call the King of the Jews?" My, my, my. My, my, my. So, once again, why were they stirring up the hearts? Because they remember what Jesus said about them. Right here. In Luke now. "Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets and your fathers kill them. In fact, you bear witnesses that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed kill them, and you build their tombs." In other words, these big old giant monuments, these people that they worship, they kill the prophets. God was trying to send them a prophet, and Jesus is telling them right to their grill, telling them the truth. And this is why they hate them. This is why they can't stand them. Look at this. "Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send the prophets and the apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation." Let me tell you, when God sends a decree to a certain people because of the hardness of their heart, guess what? When God's mind is made up, it's a done deal. They're done. And there's nothing you and I can do about it. And so, saints, the leading priest stirred up the mob to demand the release of Barabbas. This left Pilate wondering what to do with Jesus. So in verse 13, oh, look at this. I forgot this verse. "From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation." For all the prophets that came. Read the book of Kings. Read Chronicles. Read all those accounts. And when you read Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, every now and then it says, "And then rose up an evil king." And then rose up an evil king. And then rose up an evil king. So God would have to send a prophet so that they would get it right. And what would they do? They would kill the prophet. So Jesus said, guess what? Even your father's blood is on your hands. My, my, my. Man, I'm telling you, God has a memory. We might have forgotten what we did yesterday at 3:45 p.m. Come on, some of us can't remember. What did I do at 3:45 p.m.? That was just yesterday. God writes everything down in the books. And when people stand before God, he opens up the books. Because it's all written. And all these will be resurrected from the dead. And they will stand before God before they're cast into the lake of fire. My. So in verse 13, so they cried out again. They were saying, crucify him. For what? Saints, the people made their choice. They stated their preference and confirmed their sin. This is just what the Jewish leaders, they wanted. They wanted to flip their hearts. Only slaves or those who were not Roman citizens could be executed by crucifixion. But yet, they found a way to crucify him. But I'm here to let you know, saints, it was not their plan. God was just fulfilling the plan that he, before the foundation of the world, had already sent forth to die for our sins. Can I get amen? They might have conjured up all this stuff to say he was a guilty man. But guess what? That was the way it had to happen, because God, before the foundation of the world, already ordained that the Lamb of God would take away the sins of the world. Can I get amen? Oh, yes. Look what Jesus said before we close. Look what Jesus said. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Hallelujah. And that's us. Can I get amen? Amen. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life. Look at that. For the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. He was prophesying that 2,000 years later, hallelujah, that us Gentiles, hallelujah, will be grafted in by faith, hallelujah, and that we would have the same blessings of Abraham. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Everything, hallelujah, that was given to them has been given to us, the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why you need to walk in boldness, walk with anointing, walk with confidence, walk that Jesus is with you, in you. Hallelujah. And he will come back for us. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Man, I can't wait. Yes, neither can I. Hallelujah. Look at this. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. In verse 14, as we come in for a close, then Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out more to crucify him. He did nothing. He did nothing. Can I get amen? He did nothing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to verse 15 for time's sake. Hallelujah. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had been scourged. Man, whipped, mocked, spat upon, kicked. Remember what we read last chapter, where they blindfolded him and they were punching him, and they were mocking him. Who punched you? Who punched you? Man, he had to endure that for us. This is why, hallelujah. Just because someone said this and what he did for us, let that go. Let that go. Don't make an accusation or someone that hurt your feelings. Don't make it a mountain. Can I get amen? Amen. Just say, to God be the glory. I'm walking. I'm a child of God, and I'm walking in the favor of God. Hallelujah. And I will speak truth, and I will speak through the power of God. Healing. Hallelujah. People need to know that they can be healed by the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Here we are wrestling amongst each other, and there's people dying. Amen. Let us be about our Father's business. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so in verse 16, let me go to verse 16. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And so we're going to end it right there tonight. But how many believe we serve a mighty God? Hallelujah. We serve a glorious God. Hallelujah. And for those of you that know that we try to reach our community through the internet and with the messages that are for Wednesday nights and for Sunday mornings, they're all there. Even when the men come out on Mondays and they give a little message, we put everything up. Why? Because you never know who's listening. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so for those that are listening right now, maybe someone invited you to the website. Maybe someone burned a copy of this message and is now giving it to you. We're going to pray for you right now. And we're going to pray together right now as a family. Amen. And so if you're here right now or listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus, God is our answer. God is our Savior. God is our all in all. No matter where you're at spiritually, no matter what condition you're in physically, no matter how you are financially, no, it doesn't matter. God is a God that delivers. He will set you free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So if you're listening to this message, we want to pray with you. Pray this prayer by faith and mean it. And the Bible says, turn from your wicked ways. Repent of your sins. Walk toward Jesus. Come walking toward the cross now. You've been running all your life. And now God is saying, hey, make an about face and turn to me now. And watch me do the miraculous things in your life. If that's you right now, pray this simple prayer. It's not a magical prayer, but it's a prayer that you pray in faith, believing that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. So pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise in the house. Jesus is worthy. Amen. He's worthy. Hallelujah. And we bless you, Lord. And we magnify you, God. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.